89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Oh yeah, DJ Nation fam, you guys know what time it is. It's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority, and we're breaking down the divisional round picks for you guys. We only got 3 weekends left of football. This is, man, it's bittersweet. I'll shed a tear probably at the end of the season, but man, it's been a fun ride with the DJ Nation fam, fun ride with the guys. And I'm joined by my usual suspects to break down the slate and give you guys the fantasy goodness, the DFS goodness, so that we can rake in the money bags. It's Matty D. Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X, Matty 2v2. Matty gets buckets. You know what time it is. The single entry king. And then we got the godfather himself, the hot take master, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Ref 13. I can't wait to hear what Kev's takes are this week. We got a fun one. We got his Chiefs back on the slate, Matty. He's not even decked out in Chiefs gear. I don't know if we can even call him a fan. It's absolutely ridiculous and preposterous. Real G's move in silence, like lasagna is what they say. So, you know, maybe he's just trying to be incognito with it. But we got fun games on tap, boys. We got a four game slate, two games each day on the weekend. I know the DJ Nation fam is interested to hear where the takes are going to be leading us, because we got some, you know, high profile games on the slate, but not sure what kind of offenses we're going to be seeing. So Matty, how you feeling about the slate, man? And how did last weekend go for you? How was that wild card week?
Yeah, I did not have enough Mike Evans. I played the cheap Washington guys that were not De'Ami Brown. So I had Zaccheaus and Ertz. So
yep.
No De'Ami Brown for me, and no Mike Evans on the other side of that game because I played McMillan. So I got that, you know, I got the game right, that being the back and forth game of the week. It wasn't super high scoring, but it was, they definitely moved the ball up and down the field from a yardage perspective, but just wasn't on the right guys. But as far as this week, I think the best teams that are left, or the teams that are left in you know, this round, the divisional round, I think they're the best teams. There's nobody at home, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, that it's like, you know, man, I really wish this team was still in it. You know, I guess we could have said that about the Bengals last week, given, you know, their offense, but had their defense played better throughout the year, you know, that would have been a different story for them. But, you know, I mean, Tampa Bay, you know, they were probably them and Minnesota were probably the two big name teams to lose last week. And, you know, those teams are fine, but I don't think they're, you know, it's not like, I don't think that either of them were necessarily contenders this year. You know, you look at Minnesota, their schedule was ridiculously easy throughout the entire season. You know, all four of their losses were against the Rams and the Lions, and the rest of their wins were, you know, against bottom feeder teams. So now that's not to say they weren't good this year, because they were, but still, you know, it's not like, you know, they were this team that should have been a two seed or something. You know, they got handled when they played against the big boys. So, and it wasn't just once, you know, it was a couple times this year. So, you know, I think the Rams beat them by 10 earlier in the season, then handled them again this past week, and the Lions handled them twice. So again, I think this week's fun. I think the best teams are still left in it and should make for an interesting slate.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is a fun slate, and you know, we'll have some interest. I mean, we don't see a lot of upsets, you know, as many people like to think, in the wild card weekend round, and even in the, you know, we had the Rams last week beat Minnesota, so we get our upset for the week there, but then we come into this week, and you know, I feel like everybody's talking up the Commanders, and while it's been a great story, and Jaden Daniels has definitely, you know, come in and, you know, dropped his thing on the league. He's that dude, it's looking like. But this is a tough matchup for him going into Detroit, and I think because Detroit's been on bye, all of a sudden this team is not good. I don't really understand, you know, why so many people are hyping up the Commanders. It would be a great story, but this Detroit team has been on an absolute mission, you know, since the offseason. I mean, to have this be in front of their home crowd, and you know, it's just a different Detroit team. If this was Detroit of yonder, you know, before Matthew Stafford wins a Super Bowl, so to speak, you know, they've had some disappointing showings, but I don't think they let the foot off the gas here in this one. So that's going to be fun, and then the Sunday games are absolutely interesting as well too. So we should get some exciting matchups, but not sure how much bonanza scoring we're going to have. Kev, how are you feeling about this, man? Your team's playing in the first slate. Houston being in the 3:30 slot on Saturday is striking once again here, and we, you know, it's a Houston KC matchup, and if we remember the last time, I believe Houston visited Arrowhead, Deshaun Watson and, you know, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, actually, who's now a Chief, made it real interesting, you know, for your boys for a second in the first half, and then Mahomes came out, and you know, the rest is history. But this is one that probably sticks with this Chiefs, and I expect them to come out firing. What say you, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the Chiefs are, I feel pretty good about it. I think this weekend, though, like, sets up as, like, you couldn't ask for much better matchups, I think, for the most part. Like, I guess you could say the Eagles game is a little gross, like, it's not as exciting, but as the other two games, especially the, you know, what's being billed as the game of the decade and the Bills and the Ravens, I mean, that seems kind of wild to me, but just all the games we've had, you know, recently with a lot of these teams, but that game should be phenomenal. It's gonna be really cold. There could be a chance of snow, but and then the, you know, the, I think still think the Lions Commanders game, I still think sets up really nicely for the Commanders as well. So that game, I mean, we have two games over 51 points. The Bills game is 51.5, and then you have the 55 point total for the Lions game. So like those two, at least we have that. And so like, I think this slate sets up really well. I think there's some definite like type of, especially before I had opened, I will say this, before I opened the DraftKings app, I was like, okay, everybody's going to play this Commanders game. Cause I knew that this game was going to just have a massive total. When I looked, I was like, okay, it was like 56 or 55. I'm like, yeah, everybody's playing this game. And so like, I was like, you know, I'll probably want to get a little bit different. But my thought was going at first was like, okay, I bet this Ravens Bills game is going to be, you know, a one we can get to. And then I saw pricing come out and I was like, oh, so they're just trying to tip me here. That's what I DM'd you guys, because Patrick Mahomes is only 6K. And I'm like, why is this dude so cheap? Like, I don't really understand. Well, I guess we'll talk about it more when we get to quarterbacks, because just looking at some of the numbers, like he really has started to play really well. And like people are paying attention to that. And so, like, I think that that's probably going to be some ways to go, is paying down at certain spots. And then, because I think there's clear path at the running back spots that we definitely want to get to. There's a lot of dudes I really have no interest in at the running back position,
But I think it's also kind of clear who you want to play at wide receiver. So I don't know. It feels like we're just looking at ownership. There's a lot of, I think, very good leverage against what ownership is coming in at right now.
Yeah, well, we'll be excited to talk about that leverage with the people and break this down. Let's go in and talk about quarterbacks. And shout out to everybody who's coming in and listening to us. This is DGen Nation Podcast. We're breaking down the divisional round of picks. You know how we do it here, breaking it down position by position. Doesn't matter what the slate is. That's how we do it here. And we'll talk about, you know, game environments through that way. But shout out to everybody who's listening. If you're, you know, watching this live, we appreciate you. Thursday, a live coming at you guys Thursday instead of Friday this week. So a little different time. But for those of you who are here watching back, listening back, we appreciate that. Show us some love. We'll do the same to you guys. Make sure you get your questions in. We'll get those answered and we'll go ahead and break down the slate. We got a 4-game slate on tap. We got Houston, KC, Washington, Detroit as the Saturday games, and then LA, Philly, Baltimore, Buffalo on the Sunday game. So now this becomes, you know, it becomes an interesting talking point when we talk about quarterbacks. And Maddie, I'll start it with you, man. And so last week, you know, I was kind of talking about the CJ Stroud stack for the all day, you know, the all weekend, you know, stack, because it made it was so simple of a stack, in the sense of like you didn't have to guess the guys and you could just go out there. I was really, really on the Texans last week. If you guys remember, I was not really feeling the Chargers all that much, but thought that, you know, everybody was thinking that game could go under. And I was like, well, if this game goes over, like this is an easy stack that you have. And like, I actually had some good live lineups, you know, that I was ended up making some pivots on with CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, and Ladd McConkey. Like, couldn't believe the outcome that you had with those lineups. And like, really, like McConkey and Collins were like the keys to the slate. If you didn't have those guys, like, you were really, you know, not looking to win tournaments. And so when we look at this, you know, slate here with the Kansas City Houston side, like, we still have some high profile pieces that we could be getting to in this first game. And everybody's going to be thinking about the last game on the slate. The nice thing about playing a slate like this, Maddie, as we talked about it last week, it was kind of two Thanksgiving slates. And the best thing that we could do on the Thanksgiving slate is late swap. Like, we can get on to guys like Diami Brown last week and, you know, try and figure out the pieces when you're kind of left for dead. But also, like, if you're sitting pretty, so like, let's talk about this KC game. Like, if we go out and this game ends up going bananas, like, and people just have all this PMR left, but they don't have these pieces, like, there's enough here on the bone where you could just be sitting really nice and try and get some other, you know, just get some one-off pieces in these remaining games, and just thinking about, you know, who's going to get that 25 or 30 points and not really having to worry about game stacks later. And this just kind of I don't even want to get into the numbers really, because I think they're everywhere, but like Patrick Mahomes divisional round, like, this dude is absolutely insane. Hasn't lost in the divisional round, hasn't thrown an interception in the divisional round. I think he has a 16-0 touchdown to interception ratio, something crazy. Like, it's just, we know what time it is with this Chiefs team. Like, this is what they've been waiting for all year. And we've been low on the, you know, down on the offense, so to speak, but like, they still have pieces and like, they're getting healthier now all of a sudden. And it's like, it's just, you know, it's so nice to be able to try and target this team. And the Houston defense, I think everybody will just look at what they just did against this Chargers team. And, oh, they could go into Arrowhead and wreak havoc against Mahomes. And Mahomes hasn't really looked good. And that just feels like, you know, setting yourself up for disaster. So, you know, we have this first game on the slate, Maddie. I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are, because we have Patrick Mahomes comes in at the 6 highest priced quarterback on the slate at 6K. And, you know, his stacking options are pretty nice. And, you know, there are some high profile quarterbacks on the slate, but what are you doing with the first game and how are you attacking the slate?
Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say about Mahomes other than he's a really good play this weekend at 6K. You know, Houston is a team you want to attack through the air. We wanted to attack them through the air all season. And, you know, we've really seen Mahomes turn a corner over the last couple of weeks since he's had Hollywood Brown active. You know, it's opened up the offense. You know, Xavier Worthy is no longer the number one target for the defense. And, you know, he can kind of get going and doing some other things. And he's been the most targeted receiver with Hollywood back, but Hollywood's still seen 15 targets in two games. So the receiver tree, you know, has been a bit more condensed from a target perspective, which is nice, because sometimes the Chiefs can get a little crazy with where their targets go. Right. But, you know, it's a pretty straightforward stack. I mean, it's a cheap stack. Mahomes is 6K, Worthy's 5'2", and is seeing double-digit targets. Hollywood's 4-2 and has seen 15 targets in the last two games. Kelsey's 5K and finally caught his first touchdown in what was like a full season almost. So, you know, the Chiefs are the obvious stack. They're going to be the popular stack, but I'm not going to talk you off that. Because when you play those guys, you can get to the Derrick Henrys of the world. You can get to the Saquons. You can play Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, you're not going to be different, but you can be what's quote unquote optimal for this week. So I like the Chiefs, but my attention personally is going right back to the same offense I was on last week, and that's Washington. You know, we've seen the Lions play in these crazy games time and time again, especially in Detroit. Like the game last year when they played Seattle, that game was, you know, both teams scored in the 40s. You know, just a couple weeks ago, Buffalo scored 48, Lions scored 42. You know, going back to week 17, the Lions scored 40, the 49ers scored 34, and the 49ers were left for dead. You know, so a couple weeks before that, Lions 34, Packers 31. So, like, really over the last, like, handful of weeks, the Lions have been playing in these really high-scoring games, and their defense is really struggled because of injuries. So, the Washington offense has been insanely efficient. I mean, the graphic they showed during last week's game was they've converted on 87% of their fourth down conversions this year, which is absurd, and they've gone for it over 20 times. You know, so their offense is just really efficient. They don't turn the ball over. They don't punt. They put up points. The only thing is sometimes they can have, like, clock-chewing drives if they run the ball, especially with Daniels, but they can have big plays too. I mean, we've seen countless times, you know, McLaurin's made a deep catch down the sideline and, you know, De'Ami Brown's gotten loose once or twice. And, you know, the Lions are a very explosive offense on the other side of that ball too. So that game could just get nuclear really fast. And I just don't think any of these other games on the slate have that potential. Like, sure, Buffalo and Baltimore probably have the two best, you know, quote unquote offenses here, but I think that game's going to play a little gross. And I think, you know, the Ravens should want to run the ball in this matchup, considering Buffalo's run D has not been very good. And Henry ran for 200 the last time these guys played in week 4. I don't know that that's going to happen because of the whole MVP thing. And, you know, I could just see Lamar, you know, wanting to put this game on his shoulders and trying to turn this into a back and forth through the air, which is possible, but again, I'll go back to what I said last week. Baltimore's defense, ever since they moved Kyle Hamilton into the safety role, that defense has been legit over the last, you know, handful of weeks. And we've seen Buffalo put up eggs before. Last week was not one of those, but they did get off to a little bit of a slow start. And, you know, if that game plays a little slow, you know, that's also two offenses that can just do random things with touchdowns,
right?
And with people catching the ball. I mean, the Bills, you know, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper.
They do.
Dawson Knox, you know, three running backs, Kincaid, yeah. You know, and then the Ravens are the same thing. The Ravens have two tight ends. They've got Aguilar, Tylan Wallace, Rashad Bateman, who are all going to be involved. Lamar can run it, you know, 15 times.
Justice Hill,
Keaton Mitchell. Like, those two teams, they do weird shit. And so, like, I want to play the teams that I know are going to feed the ball to their guys that they're supposed to feed the ball to. And for me, that's Washington, and that's Kansas City, and that's the Lions. So those are the three teams, really. Yeah. The fourth team in that bucket would be the Eagles. I just don't really have a great feel for the Rams pushing that game. And we've seen, you know, we saw it last week. The Eagles will just roll over and just sit on a lead if they've got a lead. And so you really need the Rams to push them if you're going to play like a Smitty or an A.J. Brown or even Hurts for that matter. So I really like Saquon personally from that game. But as far as QBs, it's Mahomes and it's Jaden Daniels for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matty. I think the Philly the Philly Rams game is one where it's like, you know, I always try and see the picture of the slate, like, through a whole lot, especially, like, being multi-enter, right? Like, I have to just, like, see these outcomes. And, like, that's the one game where I'm automatically like, yeah, this game is gross, and I don't really want much to do with it. But it's also like, well, how many – could I just overstack this game, and could we get, like, an absolute ridiculous game on the other side? You know, we'll talk about this with the Rams pieces because the Rams are just such a condensed offense now with Cooper Kupp being, you know, basically – non-existent. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the fall for grace from him. And I really do think that he's hurt. I don't, you know, people want to say he's washed. Maybe he is, but I do think injury is factoring in. Preseason, he was getting a ton of hype. So I think
he was fine throughout middle part of the season too. Yeah, like he was putting up 20 plus point DK games, you know, here and there. So
yeah. And had a couple games when Nacua was dealing with his own thing. So I really just think something's going on and McVay's, you know, close to the vest with that. But however, you know, you can get Kyren and Puka, all the offense there for the Rams. And then, you know, it becomes interesting to say, like, is there a way that Hurts double stack, you know, he comes in and Hurts gets all the touchdowns. It's been so hard to trust Hurts, and, you know, he's 6,800 this week. And I'm not really interested in playing him outside of like a game environment game that just bets on that game going nuclear, where it does become interesting of just like getting two dudes from Philly, getting with Hurts, getting two dudes from the Rams.
It's an easy stack. If that is the game, I mean, it's an easy stack.
And it just makes a ton of sense in the world. But yeah, I think for me, like it's Mahomes definitely have interest in him, especially with it being the first game. And then, you know, I hear what you're saying on Jaden Daniels. They do become a frustrating offense, which we didn't see come to fruition all too much last week. But I will be interested to see how much they try to utilize Brian Robinson this week. I mean, I don't know how they can run this dude. Like, it's so infuriating to see him getting snaps. And Austin,
I just think they're not going to be able to. I think they're going to be down by 14 early. And I think they're going to have to play the catch-up game. And I think Jaden Daniels can do that. Like he can play off schedule and he can make the big throws and all that. So,
and they should. And even like last week, you saw it, like how different the offense was with Austin Ekeler out there, you know, who's got the experience and has been in that spot before. And, you know, I think, you know, Robinson, you know, he's been a good story. And actually, you know, he kind of, Ricky Pearsall has stolen this thunder. You know, he gets the armed robbery. It's him gets shot and we don't have the segments on ESPN about him, but then here comes Ricky Pearsall. We get all the segments about him, but I digress. Yeah, it becomes interesting there, but I think, you know, when you're looking at Jaden Daniels being at 7K or Josh Allen being at 7,700, I mean, this is Josh Allen's time to shine. He's going against Lamar. Like, this is a home playoff game. Everything's been talked about who's the MVP. Like, Allen needs to come out here and, you know, shut the critics up. And I don't even, it pains me to be on this side because I'm not really even that big of an Allen stan, but I think the slander on Allen has gone so much, you know, to the other side with everybody talking about Lamar's just MVP. There's not even a conversation about it. And it's like, you know, I want to hear what all these people were saying when this dude was rushing for three touchdowns, throwing for two touchdowns, when this guy was catching a touchdown to himself. Everybody all season was talking about how Josh Allen is the dude. He's making all the cool plays. He's doing this without Stephon Diggs. And now all of a sudden, because, you know, Lamar's been doing what we know Lamar can do, now it's a conversation. So I think Josh Allen's really interesting. It does become frustrating, Maddie, on thinking about who to stack him with. I had a lot of teams last week with Mac Hollins, Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and then here come Ty Johnson and Curtis Samuel. So, you know, it does make sense. But if you do get it right, you know, I think you could pay some dividends, or you could run it back with some Baltimore pieces, which become real interesting because that's when we love Josh Allen to shine, if he's getting pushed. So if we get the touchdowns right on the Ravens side, we could be in them naked, you know, running Allen naked and still find some goodness there. Kev, I want to bring you in here and talk about who your top, you know, quarterbacks are for the slate and where you're going to be going to build around for this week.
Yeah, I think the logic that you guys brought up, I think, makes a lot of sense, right? Like with Mahomes, I think people look at him and like a lot of the narrative is, well, he just hasn't been very good this year. And for the most part, like he hasn't been like the guy that he was. But like I said, over the second half of the season is where he's really started to shine. I mean, since week 9, he's thrown 19 of his 26 touchdowns since week 9. He has 4 of his last 8 games, 3 of his last 6 were games where he scored 23 or more DK points. I mean, they just played the Texans a couple of weeks ago, and that's when he dropped 23.7 in that game, and they really kind of were able to take the foot off the gas because they really were able to, especially in the second half, kind of put the clamps on them, and they didn't have to push as much. But we also know Mahomes in the playoffs really will start to run the ball a lot more as well. So that's also something for him. But just 6K for him, just point per dollar, is just way too cheap. And putting him in there, it allows you, especially because it's such a cheap stack, because the most expensive player on their team is Kelce with $5,300, and then Worthy's $5,200. But then you have D-Hop, I think it's 47, and then you have Hollywood at 42. Like, it's such a cheap stack to get to, and it opens up the rest of the slate, and that's kind of what we're looking for, because we want to play the Saquons, the Derrick Henrys, the Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, if we could fit in a Nico or a Puka or an Amon Ross St. Brown. Like, to fit all those guys in, like, you have to make concessions somewhere, and just Mahomes has the ceiling. Like, Mahomes could put up the same points as Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Jaden Daniels can. Like, he has that type of ceiling if he goes off. And so, like, just to be 6K, I think it's where you can easily get to. And so, yes, I mean, it's hard not to. And then you just kind of look at the matchup, and it kind of lines up. The Texans have allowed the 12th most DK points to quarterbacks this year. They allowed the third most passing touchdowns. They did finish with the sixth highest turnover rate per offensive drive and the 13th highest pressure rate. But we saw the Chiefs' offense really start to shift a little bit. I have to see what they do at left tackle. But, you know, because they put Tooney out there at left tackle and moving away from left guard. But DJ Humphries is healthy again, so I don't know if they're going to go back and do that. I think that would be stupid at this point. But, I mean, this is an offense with the Chiefs where a lot of things you can count on. Like, you're not worried where, like, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, for that matter, you know, or some of these other quarterbacks where – or, like, Jared Goff, for example, would be a good example of this, of, like, losing touchdowns to running backs because the Chiefs throw at the second highest rate in the red zone this year. And so, like, this is a team that's going to continue to try to throw the ball once they get inside the red zone. So you're not as worried about that either with Mahomes. And so I do really like Mahomes. I mean, Jaden Daniels is a phenomenal play, you know, despite scoring. Daniels had 12 games, scoring 20 or more DK points in all healthy games. He averaged 26 DK points this year, 52.5 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns. He was second in red zone carries. The Lions allowing the 8th most fantasy points to quarterbacks this season, the 5th most passing yards, and the 3rd fewest passing touchdowns. But they did allow the 4th most rushing yards and the 3rd most rushing touchdowns. I mean, we go back the last couple of years, and this has been a team that we want to attack with running quarterbacks because the Lions are just terrible against running quarterbacks. So Jaden Daniels is definitely a dude you could look there. As well as the Lions have allowed 2 or more passing touchdowns in 4 of their last 6 games after not doing so in over their first 11 games. So, you know, we've talked about all the injuries. Carlton Davis is going to be back. Does sound like Tyrion Arnold will be back, good to go for this game. They're going to get some of their guys back for that defense, but that defense is still not the same defense it was, and it's still a defense that you can throw the ball against. And if they're going to be pushed, like, Jaden Daniels is really hard to get away from because all the dynamic that he brings. But I also can make the same case for Jared Goff. Now, Jared Goff is much more scary of a play because of the fact that once they get to the red zone, it almost inevitably seems like guys get tackled at the 1 yard line. And it's like, all right, well, we're fucked because here comes Jahmyr Gibbs. Here comes David Montgomery. They're coming in. They're scoring. They're rushing a touchdown here and it's over. But I mean, even Jared Goff this year has been phenomenal. 3rd in completion percentage, 2nd in yards per attempt, 7th in fantasy points per dropback. He has 20 plus DK points in 7 games this year. He scored 30 in 2 of those as well. And the Lions have now scored 31 points in 5 straight games to end the season. He's also attempted 31 plus he has 31 pass attempts or more in 7 straight games. Commanders versus quarterbacks allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to quarterback season, but they have allowed the 2nd fewest passing yards this year. But over the last 5 games, they have allowed the 3rd fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, and they are 14th in pressure rate, 12th in sacks. Lions are ranked 20th in pressure rate allowed and at 11th fewest sacks on the season. So it's not the best matchup for Jared Goff, but also this is still one of the best offenses in the league. And so I don't think it's the best matchup for him, and it probably makes more sense to play the running backs. But we've seen Jared Goff plenty of time this year with this offense to be able to just go out there and explode. But the chances are that there's the possibility where he loses 2 or 3 rushing touchdowns to the running backs, and he only ends up throwing, you know, he can throw for 320, but only has 1 passing touchdown. So he's a lot more volatile in that way, but he's still really cheap at only $6,300. Now, if I had to make a bet on one of the high-priced quarterbacks, for me, it's Josh Allen. I don't know, like, kind of like you said, what we're doing with, like, it feels like a lot of people are acting like the Ravens are going to just walk into Buffalo and just easily win this game. I don't get it at all. Like, do we not just forget that Josh Allen is Superman once we get to the playoffs? Like, the dude is going to run the ball a ton. They will put it on his back, and they're just going to let him go. And, like, for me, like, I think the play is just you play him naked. Like, you don't stack him with anybody because it's just so, like, what time this year where we're like, man, you had to have that guy, like with Josh Allen. Like, it's just not the case. He spreads the ball around so much that, like, you just don't need to. Just play him naked and move on, right? Like, I have no interest in playing. Like, there's not a run back that I'm interested in or a player on his side that I feel like I need to stack him with. Just play him naked. But the dude could easily put up 4 or 5 touchdowns in this game because this is what happens. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that people are acting like the Ravens are just going to be able to walk in here. And I get it. The Ravens beat him earlier in the year and, you know, all this stuff. Like, who cares? I do not care what happened in the regular season once we get to the playoffs. Like, it's a completely different game. And so for me, you know, like, I think Josh Allen is also just a really good play at $7,700. If this game goes off, like, this could be the game that obviously just ends up sinking you. I'm like, oh, well, it was fun because it's the late hammer. It's the last game on the slate. But I do think Josh Allen would be the guy that I would target.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is, like, you know, it could end up, like, just sinking you from the standpoint of you not having Allen. You might not even need the – you don't need Kincaid. You don't need the receivers because the touchdown equity either just goes all to Allen or he throws it, you know, to one guy here, one guy there, and the scores aren't GPP, you know, viable enough for these other dudes. But Allen goes out and scores, you know, 38 or 45 points that he's capable of. So that's the interesting narrative there, which is why I like playing him naked. Let's talk about the running back position, Kevin. I'm glad you brought up Jared Goff there because I think it makes for an interesting, you know, talking point when we talk about the running back position with David Montgomery being back in the mix for the Detroit Lions. And Detroit Lions, you know, you look at their implied team total and the running backs have been doing, you know, most of the damage this year. I mean, you know, they got 28, I think, total touchdowns between the two of them out of the, you know, 68, I believe, touchdowns, at least that's passing and rushing for the Lions there. So we know that this offense is all about running the ball. And when you get David Montgomery back into the mix, who, you know, has a modest price tag this week, you know, on DraftKings, to be able to pair him with Gibbs, Maddie, we've talked about that so many times, you know, in talking about the Lions this season, of just get all the touchdowns from these two dudes and figure it out elsewhere. It could be good leverage, you know, off the field, who's trying to get, you know, the stack right with Jared Goff. I do think there is a pass catcher that makes for, you know, an interesting play that we'll talk at a different position. But, you know, with the running backs there, I think I really like the Lions. I want to try and get, you know, Henry and or Saquon, you know, at least one of them on a team. And, you know, I think it's really going to be, you know, How risk averse do you want to play it this week? You know, how crazy do you want to get? You know, obviously if you're in the flagship, you know, the big tournaments, yeah, you don't need to be paying, you know, for all of these dudes. That might not be the way to go. So you can take a shot on, you know, a Justice Hill or an Austin Eckler, if you think that's the case, or maybe even a running back for Kansas City for that matter. We see it happen time and time again. But if I'm playing single entry or if I'm playing 3 max, even like 5 max, like, I'm just going to say, just let me get the high profile dudes at running back and I can figure out, you know, the wide receiver and, you know, try and get these touchdowns elsewhere. Maddie, is it shaping up to you to be just pay up for running back and move on? Or is there any interest of these low dollar guys that would pique your interest, I guess?
I think there are some viable low dollar guys. I just don't know that I'll get there because I think the high price guys are going to smash. Like, I think Gibbs smashes and I think Saquon smashes. And I think Henry would probably be my number three okay. of that top tier. But I definitely think the path for Henry to get 30 plus is also very much in the realm of likely outcomes. Like I said, he's already done it once against this team. So, and you attack Buffalo on the ground. The question is, are the Ravens going to attack Buffalo on the ground? Yeah, it's right. Those three guys up top for me, Gibbs, Saquon and Henry, but I'm cool with Eckler, especially if you're playing Jaden Daniels and, or stacking that game. I'm cool with Justice Hill if you're playing Josh Allen or Lamar and stacking that game. I'm also cool with Ty Johnson on the other side of that. We, you know, last week, Ray Davis got the hospital ball thrown to him by Josh yeah. Allen, you know, and he's not going to be out there this week. So that takes a 3-man rotation. Running back for the Bills down to a 2-man rotation. And Ty Johnson's been their pass catching back, essentially. You know, you look right. at the games that Ty Johnson has smashed in, has been the games where Buffalo's had to play in the back and forth. I know he scored last week. That was, you know, that game last week kind of got out of hand and he got some garbage time work. But the Detroit game, you know, he had five targets. He had 114 receiving yards and scored 20 DK points without scoring a touchdown. The game before that against the Rams, three catches for 55 and a score. So, you know, he's had a couple games where he scored double digit points. I don't think he's a lock. I'm not going to spend a ton more time talking about him. I just think he's in play.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a super viable play if you are interested in playing Allen. You know, I think that he makes a ton of sense. I mean, this dude just somehow, you know, always finds a way to get open and Allen finds him and, you know, it could be good. And we know people are going to play Shakir in those lineups. They're going to play Coleman. They're going to play Amari Cooper and hopefully try and get that game. And it's like, well, Ty Johnson's just been out there doing everything. I like that you brought up the Ray Davis call there because, yeah, that could just mean more snaps for this guy. I don't see myself playing James Cook this week. I mean, he's just such
he's caught zero pass, zero targets in the last three games.
Yeah.
I will say this. Just Ray Davis did get a limited practice today, which is a really good sign of him being available probably this weekend. If he got an eliminated, then basically tomorrow he should get the full practice set as long as that, and then he'll be good to go.
So. Yeah, we'll see. He's not projected in by what I'm looking at, but
I'm surprised because of that hit he took. Like, I did not think that he'd be playing in this game, so right. I am somewhat surprised that he was able to already get back to eliminated. But it's the playoffs, so you know all bets are off.
For sure. And even if he, you know, does come back, that's a great sign. And they could just be, you know, they could be weary with him and be like, all right, we're going to monitor you this week and, you know, utilize you for the next round and make sure that you're 100% healthy, you know, depending on how this game goes. So even if he's active, doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be, you know, that involved in see the field. But yeah, here where you're at, Mehdi, and it makes a ton of sense. I mean, it just does not. It does not lend itself to being a slate where you want to miss out, you know, on these dudes because they're just such strong on paper plays that and I feel like there's strong ways to get to them this week that will be, you know, wanting to target these guys at the top. But Kev, what say you at the running back position and how are you viewing it and who are your top three? Mehdi mentioned that it would be Gibbs, Saquon, and then Henry for him. Is that how you're reading it or what's standing out to you at the position?
I mean, I think Gibbs is the clear, like, just easy number one. I mean, matchup is there. Commanders have struggled at times against running backs. I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. I mean, he's been efficient, eighth in yards per touch, second year explosive run rate, first in EPA per rush. Like, he's just been the man. And he's done this on 51% of the opportunities. Like, he's just been phenomenal. Nearly 2,000 total yards, 20 total touchdowns. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is the dude. And so, like, he's definitely 100%. And he's going to be high on, and he should be, because it's a great spot. Saquon Barkley, I think, is number two. Obviously, Saquon is a little bit more boom or bust, but still a great way. Should have scored with the man, dude, when he went down. Like, I get it. But, like, I'm like, dude, the game was already over. Like, you could have just went and scored, bro. Like, it had no effect on anything else. Like, that would have been huge for me because I had a lot of Saquon last week. But anyways, to me, I think Derrick Henry is the most volatile of this group because – he's the one that's not involved in the passing game. And, like, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit off before, but, like, if the Ravens fall behind by a couple scores, and I think that's when you see Derrick Henry get phased out a little bit. And, like, that's what hurts his upside. Recently, what we've seen is when games were, yes, well, they're able to dictate the pace and they're playing from ahead, then they could do all of those things. But if they don't and the Bills go out and get a quick lead, I mean, this game is going to be in Buffalo. And if that's what happens, like, Derrick Henry could be, you know, somebody that doesn't see nearly as many touches we think he should if they are to fall behind. And so, like, I think he's definitely the more volatile one of the three. Like, this is certainly not a lock whatsoever for Derrick Henry. And depending on the way ownership is going to play out, if Derrick Henry ends up being a popular play, then I would be okay with jumping off that because I think there's a lot of ways that could go wrong. I agree with the Justice Hill call in terms of leverage because – in those games that they do fall behind and they're playing a trailing game script, that's when Justice Hill gets really involved in the passing game. And Justice Hill is also really, really cheap at $4,800. And so, like, I think that's just kind of way this has to go. It's kind of like a showdown slate. Like, you have to tell yourself a story of how you think these games are going to go to be able to play some of this out because, you know, that's the way a lot of these situations are going to play themselves out. And, Like, and so for me, like, I'm okay with getting away from Derrick Henry in the spot. Like I think there's definitely a scenario where the Bills jump out to a 14-0 lead, and then all of a sudden they're playing from behind. And what's really scary with the Ravens is that they look like they're going to have Zay Flowers. And so, like, this could be a really big problem for them, you know, if that's what happens. So, like, it's going to be pretty important for that. And for someone that's 8K that's not involved in the passing game, I'm okay with fading Derrick Henry if I need to. Like, I think it's fine. In terms of, like, the cheaper plays, I have no idea what the Commanders were doing last week with Brian Robinson Jr. How many more times do we have to run this dude in the back of the offensive line for 2 yards per carry and just be so inefficient? And with Austin Eckler, every time he touched the ball, like, he made a positive play. Like, he had one catch, I think he picked up, like, 20 yards. And, like, he looks like he had juice, like, because he's been out for a month with a concussion. And so, like, he looked like he had so much more juice. And, like, I was like, what are we doing with Brian Robinson right now? Like, can we get this dude out of here right now? But Austin Eckler played about 50% of the snaps in this game. I think you can go back to Austin Eckler if you want to at $5,100. I don't mind doing that if you're looking for a pay down spot. I don't really love any of the Chiefs options. I think I would prefer Kareem Hunt over Isaiah Pacheco, just because I think he's going to be a little bit more involved in the passing game and probably would be involved once he gets inside the red zone. So, like, if I was going to take a stand and wanting a cheap option, like, Kareem Hunt would probably be another play that you could look at. And I 100% agree. David Montgomery, just the disrespect for David Montgomery that we have, like, just every year, whether it's, like, in season long, where just nobody cares about David Montgomery and the dude continues to produce. Like, the dude's averaged 16 DK points and he's $5,700. Like, I know he's coming off this injury, but he seems like he's 100% good to go. And if he is, like, $5,700 David Montgomery, like, he could easily score 20. Like, we've seen it before. All year, this was a 50-50 split between Gibbs and Montgomery. Like, every time these two dudes played was a complete 50-50 split. And I don't think anything changes there. So, I think they probably go back to something similar to what they were doing. It worked all year. I don't see it going away. And so, David Montgomery, and I don't mind the call of going just getting the Lions backfield and playing Gibbs and Monty and moving on. Like, I think that is definitely a viable play.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely viable, as we've seen what the Lions want to do with these two being on the field. And if David Montgomery is playing, like, I don't even need to hear about health. I mean, if he's out there, this dude is going to be playing his full allotment of snaps. I don't see Dan Campbell playing any other way. It's the playoffs now, and I think they would have been trying to get him back, you know.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Earlier, if it were to happen in the playoffs, to be able to utilize this guy, he's such the heart and soul of what they want to do. Dan Campbell said that time and time again. So, yeah, he's mispriced. And if you even want to talk about, you know, David Montgomery being mispriced, just go on over to FanDuel. He's the bare minimum 4K. He's the same price as Will Shipley over there on FanDuel. So you get a free square there. Some intern forgot to change the settings for David Montgomery. So that's a fun one. You get one slot for free on FanDuel this week for the divisional round. Fun stuff there. Real quick before we move on to wide receiver, Maddie, Joe Mixon's on the injury report. He's questionable, which could mean more work for Damian Pierce, more work for Dari Ogunbowale. Not sure that I will get there, but I do think that it is interesting if I am expecting, you know, the Chiefs to be able to put up points there. Whoever the pass catching back is for the Texans has to be a little bit viable. In some builds, I don't know if I'll get there from a three max or single entry perspective, but I do think that it's interesting if we do get Joe Mixon out, that these guys potentially come into play. Any one of those guys, either one of those guys, interest you in Chiefs builds? Maddie, you're shaking your head.
No, I'm good on that.
Chiefs have been elite against the run this year.
Mixon plays.
And I don't even have interest in Mixon, even if you Joe Mixon himself. Like, he's just the Chiefs.
No,
have been
I don't
so
either.
Good.
Yeah.
Against the run.
Yeah, it's just interesting because if they're going to be down, I mean, we've seen Dare, you know, be the pass catching back, and you know, on a site like DraftKings, one point, you know, he could be somebody that becomes frustrating. It now again, it's like it's opportunity cost, right? Because you're either eating up a running back spot or you're eating up a flex spot. So you know, you definitely are going to be rooting for a touchdown there, which, you know, comes into play if there's no Joe Mixon for sure. But it's just going to be an interesting one to monitor. And I know that people would be interested to hear those thoughts. So something that we'll have to monitor come the weekend. But yeah, going to be an interesting one. And I do tend to agree with Kev. I mean, Joe Mixon's going to do everything that he can to be out there and play. So it might not even matter, but had to bring it up. Let's talk about wide receiver Houston. I mean, Nico Collins, this dude absolutely does everything. He's got a tough matchup. We know that, but again, he does everything for this offense. And you know, CJ Stroud absolutely loves trying to find ways to get him the ball. He's 7,600. So, you know, you take that for what it's worth. He makes it tough to be able to pay up for running backs if you want to be able to fit him in, but he's also Nico Collins and we know what he can do. To the slate. I think I'd be more apt to play, if I play Nico Collins, I'd be more willing to take a chance on CJ Stroud, who we didn't really touch on, but I think that's the way that I get to Nico, is just if Nico goes out there and gets, you know, 30, like CJ Stroud might have a viable fantasy score that we'd feel comfortable with. Puka Nacua at the top, again, guy who does everything. I do think it's an interesting, you know, play this week, because I think people, you know, it's Puka. We know that his target share is absolutely incredible, but this is a Philly defense, and Maddie, I know you've talked about this time and time again as we got later in the season, who's been playing better. The secondary has really kind of stepped up, and not to say, you know, Puka I think can go out there and necessarily eat, but when you're paying 7,400 for him, you know, we need him. I don't know that it's going to be all of the volume, so to speak. Like, you know, the Eagles could just hold on to the ball and not really give the Rams too many possessions. This game could play slower, which would limit the upside that Puka necessarily has. And we, you know, we saw whatever double digit targets last week in the pace up game that we thought was going to be bananas. And, you know, if he doesn't score a touchdown, it doesn't tend to be, you know, the fantasy score that we're really looking for. So it's an interesting play there. Lions guys, I'm interested in JMO 6,100. I'm always going to be interested in him in a one-off. I mean, with Amon-Ra, you know, it's always a volume play, and I think he could get there against Washington, but I'd much rather play him with Goff, and I don't think I'll have too much Goff this week. The wide receivers for the Chiefs are all absolutely in play. I think Hopkins is my least favorite of the three. Hollywood Brown, price considered, just has to be the favorite for me at 4,200. He allows you to do so much with your team, but Xavier Worthy has been absolutely incredible. He's only 5,200 and his upside is massive as they try to get him the ball. You know, some, I don't want to say Rashee Rice in the same token as Worthy, but they have tried to get him the ball as much as they can. Khalil Shakir, you know, he's always going to be popular and say he's 5K. He's in the last game where people expect it to be a bonanza, but it's like, how many times are we going to do this with Khalil Shakir? Like, if it is a smash game, you know, if it hits its total, then yeah, like Shakir might get there, you know, on pure volume. And if he catches a touchdown, you're going to be sitting pretty. He's going to be the most popular wide receiver, I feel like, on the slate. But if he doesn't score, and if this game plays slower to like what we think of, like, I just don't know how you can, you know, trust him at this price tag. And I just would love to see Khalil Shakir be the most popular, you know, wide receiver on the slate and have an Amari Cooper who's 4,400 go out there and just catch two bombs. And everybody who's been chasing the Amari Cooper game is just sitting there holding their hand in their heads because you missed out on it because of Shakir. I mean, I love Shakir. I think he's a, you know, a real nice wide receiver, and they've been, you know, he's definitely been one of Allen's favorite targets for sure, but the ball just goes around too much that it makes it tough to play him as a one-off. Maddie, I'm going to bring you in. You talked about the Washington guys, and I was happy last week because I was able to make some pivots to get onto McLaurin, to get onto Diame Brown, which really helped cash some lineups I wasn't, necessarily going to be hitting anything because I didn't have them on my Collins and McConkie stack, so to speak, but it did help me out in some regard. But I'm not sure if I'll get to these guys this week, but it does make, sense to be playing them, because if the Lions are putting up points, Daniels is going to have to find somebody. Talk to us about wide receiver and what you're feeling about the slate.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I'm pretty much in lockstep with you throughout the entire board of receivers. So I don't really need to add a ton, actually, on my end.
Your favorite wide receiver is?
One question I had is, you said with the Chiefs wide receiver, you said you really didn't have any interest in DeAndre Hopkins. Can I ask why?
Well, I think it just becomes I think Worthy and Brown, I think, are just such strong on paper plays that he becomes the third option for me. Yep. And yeah, if I'm playing multiple lineups with Mahomes, I'm going to get exposure to DeAndre. But I think from my single entry team, if I'm running Mahomes, he's going to be the first guy out, because then I'm going to put in Kelce at third, behind the two wide receivers. I might even put Kelce over Worthy, as I was talking to Maddie pre-show. I think just Hollywood Brown with Mahomes makes a ton of sense at 4,200. I just want to get to that. So I think he just ends up being the odd man out at 4,700. I think I could, talk myself into some Bateman or possibly even Alameda over Hopkins. And that's just how I'm seeing it. Not that I don't want to have him at all, but if I'm playing the Chiefs wide receivers, he's probably going to be the first guy that I cross off the list.
So the thing with this is, and people should understand, is that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be unleashed now. Like all year, he's been running like 40-50% of the routes because they were trying to hold him back, which we've talked about this a lot, so they didn't have to give up a fourth round pick. And so now, he's going to be at, whatever they want him to be. I think he's probably going to be playing probably 70-80, 90% of the snaps. And he's right now, Hollywood's actually trending to be top 5 in ownership among wide receivers, which makes sense. He's $4,200. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. He's where DeAndre Hopkins is currently coming in about 10%, and I'm seeing Xavier Worthy 9%. So they're right around each other. I love Xavier Worthy too. What they really start doing with him, it's very much short, get the ball in his hands, get him in space, type of routes for him. And where DeAndre Hopkins, I think you start to see him a little bit more. I would probably rank it, if it was me, Worthy, then DeAndre Hopkins, then Hollywood Brown. I think if it was me, because I think DeAndre Hopkins is also somebody they really try to look for in the red zone this year as well. And so, obviously Kelce is probably the best play. Like, Kelce in the playoffs is phenomenal. This is what they save him for. This is why they do a lot of the different things that they do. And yep. So, obviously, I have no problem with that. But, I wouldn't sleep on DeAndre Hopkins here because, I think this is a really good spot. Obviously, Ryan, you love narratives. And, obviously, it's a, revenge spot here for DeAndre Hopkins. But
I love it.
He's $4,700. Really wouldn't shock me if at the end of this game he had 10 targets. Like I said, the gloves are off. No more restrictions for him. He's full go. 3 weeks off, I wouldn't be shocked if he had 8 for 90 and 2 scores.
Yeah, but yeah, on the principle of ownership alone, I mean, Hollywood's going to be 41%, and Worthy's projected at 31%, and then I'm seeing Hopkins at 6. So, just based on the principle of game theory, right, says, okay, well, Hopkins can catch 2 touchdowns, even if he only catches 4 balls for 40 yards and scores twice. That's still, 20 DK points at 4,700. He's a must have. So he's absolutely in play. I think I still would rank him as my third, in a vacuum. If I was just saying optimal, I'd say Hollywood's the number one, Worthy's the number two, and just price considered. And then Hopkins would be my number three, but I may end up just playing Hopkins just for the sole premise of game theory.
Yeah, no, I like that you called that out, Kev. I think it becomes interesting. I think where my devil's advocate play comes in is that you know, I right now I'm finding it hard to believe that Houston makes this a game. So
right.
Is it, do you unleash Hopkins against a Houston team at home that you're just expected to roll on, knowing that you have Buffalo and the Ravens next week? And do you try and get, you know, I mean, we know what Worthy's going to be on the field. So do you try and get Hollywood, who's missed, you know, the most time of this wide receiver group? You know, do you try and get a rapport with him in a matchup that you can exploit going into this game and really get all your, you know, guys on the same page heading into, you know, what's going to be, you know, the game? We talk about the Buffalo and Ravens game being the game of the year, but like, whoever those guys play against Kansas City, that is going to be the game of the year and all lights on. Yeah. So I'm not sure, you know, he definitely could be out there from a snap share standpoint to start the game. And then if it becomes, you know, 21-10 or something like that at half or whatever, you know, and they're just controlling the game, like, I think he might be the first guy, right, to see his snaps decrease. Is that fair?
I mean, I think it's definitely possible, but I mean, the Chiefs just, the thing that with the Chiefs though, is they never put their, they always right. take their foot off the gas, and then the teams inevitably come back. And so, like, I don't know. We'll see. Like, I know there's a lot of narrative that the Chiefs are just going to steamroll the Texans. Like, I don't know if I'm fully on board with that. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I think the Texans are going to win by any means, but I think it could be a little bit closer of a game. But I'm just saying that, like, I feel like DeAndre Hopkins shouldn't be overlooked as being the lowest of all these guys. Like, I think that could end up being a mistake, because I, like I said, once we get to the red zone, I think he is a preferred option once you get down there. And like, yep. I think that all I'm saying is, like, I would definitely be overweight to whatever his ownership is by a lot.
No, I like it. It definitely makes sense. And, you know, not only from a leverage standpoint, but you're multi-entering as well too, Kev. So I get having exposure to him. So if you're not expecting the Chiefs to necessarily steamroll the Texans and you're not playing Derrick Henry, does that mean you're wanting to pay for Nico Collins this week?
I mean, so you certainly can. I mean, Nico Collins has been phenomenal this year. I do think that there's the scenario where, because we see Spags typically try to take something away, and if you're going to take something away from the Texans, it's going to be Nico Collins. I mean, even the last time these two teams faced each other, Nico only saw, I think it was 7 for 60, I think, in that game. The Chiefs are very much bend, don't break. They're going to try to do whatever they can to not allow anything deep. So like, maybe John Mechie, you know, which I don't know what the, like, that dude was just getting peppered with targets early in that game last week. I mean, I think he had like 8 targets or something like that. I think he had like 6 of those came like super early. Cause I'm like, what are we doing here with just like force feeding the ball to John Mechie, but they don't have anybody else to throw the ball to. I mean, it's Dalton Schultz. You know, and John Mechie, and then it's old ass Robert Woods, like Deontay Johnson,
who's questionable, mouth
shut, like and got his ass, you know, cut again. Like, I don't know what we're doing there. Like, what audacity do you have, sir, coming in here being cut this many times and being upset after the game that you didn't see enough targets? Like, what are we doing? But anyway, and so like John Mechie, I think you could look at. I would bet he's probably going to be pretty widely owned because he is one of the few value plays you have a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing 3%.
That's interesting. So what I'm seeing here, he shows at 24%. That's interesting. That big of a difference. But anyways, regardless,
it is Thursday, so these will get updated as it gets closer.
So I think John Mechie would be a spot. I mean, saw a target.
Usually we've got Friday ownerships, and those are a little more accurate.
Right.
Yeah. And so like, I think you can look there, you know, as well as another option. You know, if you want to do a run back, I also think, you know, maybe go and double tight end Dalton Schultz. I mean, the Chiefs have struggled against tight ends pretty much all year.
I do like the Schultz call, and that is also a nice transition into the tight end position.
Yeah. Kev, you good to transition?
Well, the only thing I'll ask is, I don't know if we really clarified. I will say, I don't know if we really talked about it, but Terry McLaurin is a phenomenal play.
Yeah.
Somehow his price dropped.
Especially if you're playing Jaden, you play Terry.
Yeah,
I have no idea how this dude's price went down. Like,
yeah, he's 6'3". That's crazy.
He's now seen 22 targets his last two games as well. So, like, he's pretty close to a must play for me at cost. Love the JMO call a little bit more, boo or bust. But all I want to ask you guys, of the top, I guess, you know, 4 or 5 guys, how would you rank, like, your top 3 between Nico, Puka, Amon-Ra, A.J. Brown? I guess top 4. Sorry. As long as it's 7K and above.
This is going to be a theme for me, but Washington Detroit game is going to hold any tiebreaker for me. So I think Amon-Ra is going to smash this week personally. I think if that game is any sort of inkling of back and forth, it's always an Amon-Ra game and back and forth games every time. I mean, he's a lock for 100 yards receiving, and he can score touchdowns, and he can get you 10 plus catches in those kinds of games. So, Puka would be the obvious number two for me. It's just, I do have concerns that, you know, the Philly defense has been so good and they can just try to take him away. One, and two, the Philly offense can just sit on the ball if they're playing with a lead and just every play they run the ball three times and then it's fourth and one. They just push and it's another run, you know? So like Philly can chew clock and the Rams want to run the ball too. And it's a good way to negate the pass rush of Philly. So I just, that game's just kind of gross for me, but I would say Puka's my number two. And I'm personally just not on Nico and AJ Brown this week.
Yeah. That's funny, Maddie, because I think AJ Brown ends up being my favorite only because I think that if I'm not playing Saquon, I like the ability to just get to AJ Brown. And we've seen AJ Brown hit without necessarily Hurts hitting. And he, you know, if the Rams are deciding like, hey, we can't let Saquon get going. I mean, good job trying to stop him. But like, if they put all their eggs in that basket and like AJ Brown's just sitting here out on AJ Brown Island and like talk about narratives, like getting him the ball and, you know, what time it is, I think AJ Brown becomes the most interesting play of the top guys to get to at 7K.
That's fair. I think I still prefer Amon-Ra and Puka to AJ Brown just because they're certainties, right? Like they're both going to get you 20 points regardless of game environment. And then they've both got ceilings for 35 to 40, whereas AJ Brown can get you 2 points and sure he can get you 35, but you know, it's just a much wider range of outcomes. I would almost just, if you're going to go that route of fading Saquon and still want an Eagle, I don't even think you have to have an Eagle personally. Cause I think that game's gross.
I do too.
And there's going to be that snow that's coming through is going to be rolling through Sunday afternoon too. So, you know, that's going to be another element to just keep an eye on. But Devontae Smith is essentially free. I played him last week and, you know, he didn't smash by any means, but I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's 5.6K. So
he's been low key getting work, man.
He's just like good. Devontae. Like he's legit a really good wide receiver. And so, you know, if I was picking an Eagles player that's not Saquon, it'd be Smitty for me.
Yeah. And if this pocket, you know, holds up against this Rams, you know, defense, unlike the Minnesota Vikings were able to do, like Darnold had guys, you know, he was trying to get it to Jefferson, trying to get it to Addison, trying to get it to Hawk. And they, you know, they were making plays. It's just that front was getting to him.
Yeah. That's the thing with the Rams defense. If that pass rush doesn't get home, the cornerbacks would get eviscerated.
Yeah.
I think there's a big difference between the
Eagles offensive line the Vikings offensive line is. So
I think from a pure leverage standpoint, AJ Brown is super interesting because like he's going to be significantly lower on than all.
I'm seeing 20% personally. So
yeah,
it's interesting. It shows 4% on AJ Brown.
I think it's some single entry fields, you know, high dollar stuff. I think we'd, you know, definitely be surprised to see it on the higher end side, but probably in some low dollar tournaments in the flagships. I think it'll be, you know, definitely tampered down, but it's definitely interesting. I think for me, it's probably reverse order with AJ Brown, St. Brown. And then, probably Nacua and then Nico would be last. I think it's just kind of tough to get to him on that first game slate, right? It's interesting. But that's why we played the tournaments, boys, and see it. But going to be a fun slate, and I definitely think that wide receiver is definitely a strong key because we know that people will be trying to get to running back. So curious to see where people go with their builds. Let's talk. Maddie, we were going to transition to tight end, and I think tight end, you know, we talked about it last week of it being really gross, and you know, really wanted to try and get to the Baltimore guys, which, you know, didn't work out quite the way that we wanted it to, but you know, you like what Mark Andrews was able to throw in, and even at likely with his 8 points didn't necessarily kill you, you know, but Goddard ended up, you know, having a real good showing And now we get like Kelce and Laporta, right, on this slate. So it makes it a little bit more enticing. I think Schultz is interesting in KC Houston stacks. Because, and Maddie, you brought this up, but I think the Cade Stover injury is definitely a key there. Also, if I'm not playing Nico, but, you know, and I'm not probably going to get to Mechie because of the opportunity cost at wide receiver, I'd rather play a wide receiver in some of the later games than having it tied up to Mechie. So Schultz is just going to be that guy where it's like, if I'm doing a run back, like, come on down, you're 3,300. Like, you definitely should be targeted in this matchup. The way KC is playing, you know, the tight end and wide receiver positions, he should have some volume there to go, and he's 3,300, so frees up some salary to be able to get to some dudes. But I think Likely is really interesting. It's going to be tough for me to not just pay $200 more, especially if I expect Zay Flowers to be out. Likely has been absolutely incredible when a receiver is not, you know, out there for this team. And if Zay Flowers isn't out, like, we're going to see 12 personnel from this Ravens team. And we know what the total is telling us. So I definitely like getting to his price tag. And then, it you know, probably Laporta. I mean, I'm going to have Kelce in a, that's why I play three max, because I'm going to have a team that has Mahomes and Kelce, and I'm going to have a team that doesn't have Kelce, but, you know, Kelce is always in play for me anytime it's on the slate. But Laporta at 4,200 is really, like, probably going to be my Detroit exposure outside the running backs. It's just an incredibly cheap price tag for a guy who's really come on strong since the injury and really being involved in this offense. And Jared Goff has been looking to pepper him. And we look at this matchup against Washington here, I think he should have, you know, a time. So at 4,200, he probably, you know, definitely stands out to me, you know, outside of game stack with Schultz. And, you know, if I need the salary, I'll probably get to Likely. But if I have the $700 more, I get to Laporta, and I feel really good about it. Maddie, how are you looking at the tight end position this week?
Yeah, I think I am totally in agreement on Likely. I think he's the best play point per dollar at tight end this week with if no Zay Flowers. Even if Zay Flowers plays, that's a mouthful. You know, Likely still in play at 3,500, but I think he's a lock personally if Zay sits. Because if they're trailing, they're gonna have to throw the ball. It's got to go to somebody. Yeah. It can't just be Bateman, and it can't just be Mark Andrews. So. You know, Likely is always been a big part of what Lamar wants to do when he throws the ball. So, I think he's the clear one. I do like Laporta. I will say Laporta, his boost though, and something we talked about Laporta pre-show, but something I didn't really consider was Monty's been out the last few weeks, and he got Laporta last year when Monty was out, got a big boost as well. So, like, I think there is part of it is, yeah, Laporta is like coming back into the role that he was in last year for the majority, but also at the same time, I think Monty being out has boosted Laporta a bit. So I am hesitant on him a hair, but him only being 4,200, he's still a really good play. So I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm out on him. I just don't think he's like a slam dunk lock. And then, yeah, if you think the KC game stays close, Kelce is absolutely in play at 5K. The Schultz call is fine. The Houston team should be playing from behind. We know tight ends against Kansas City has always been a thing. And then also, I do like Zach Ertz as well if you're playing Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Attaching the tight end to your quarterback.
Yeah. Especially with Ertz not really getting there last week, and it was the Diami show and people going back to that well. And, yeah, we know what Ertz is capable of, so I like that call out. Kev, talk to us about tight ends, man. Who are you on this week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much more to say. I agree. I just wanted to say on the last week with the Ravens, obviously, you know, the game script kind of got out of hand and they didn't have to do as much, but it was pretty close between Mark Andrews and Likely. Andrews ran 19 routes to 17 to Likely. And then, I mean, Bateman only ran 21. He was the top. So last week, and Isaiah Likely actually was at a 24% target per route run rate, which is the highest on the team. Ran 65% of the routes, had the highest yards per route run. And so I do think Likely is a great play. You know, last week we were kind of on him because of price. They did move him up a little bit, not anything significant. It's only $3,500. And I mean, he could easily be the tight end that breaks the slate with this matchup here. So I do like Likely quite a bit. If you're like, I don't even know. Like, I was like, huh, I wonder who the Houston's other tight end is. Like, Irv Smith, like $2,500. I also think Dallas Goedert is also a really good play. The Rams have really struggled against opposing tight ends. I know he did practice today because of illness. There's zero shot he doesn't play, unless he's on his deathbed or something like that, you know, in this playoff game. So Dallas Goedert at $3,900, I think, is a great play. The Rams have allowed like the third most DK points per game. So Dallas Goddard's a really good play. Tyler Higbee, you know, kind of was looking like he was well on his way to absolutely smash last week before he got hurt. But it does sound like he's going to be back this week. And so I think he's also in play, too, at $3,400. Like, he looks now like to be the number two target in this offense behind, you know, Puka Nacua. So if you're wanting a little bit of, you know, action on this game, you know, maybe a mini stack of whether it's Brown or Barkley, if you're wanting a little bit of a run back, I think Tyler Higbee at 34 is also in play.
Love it. Love it. Let's talk about defense, boys, and we can build a team and get on out here for the people. It's the DGEN Nation podcast. We're breaking down the divisional round pick. Shout out to everybody who's been rocking along with us on this pod and this journey. It's a fun one. It's a fun one to break down, and we're going to finish it out with the defense here. We got Chiefs at the top at 3,600. You can pay all the way down for the Commanders at 2,300. I mean, the 3,000 defenses are 3,000 for a reason, and they look good. I don't think we really have to, you know, think about who to play here. Chiefs are obviously going to stand out to me at 3,600. I think Texans will catch some popularity based on last week and it being the first game at 2,500. I just will have Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs stack, so I probably won't be getting there. The defense under 3K, I think that, you know, interests me a little bit. It is the Rams at 2,700. Again, it's like, if that's the game that I'm getting the least exposure to, and, you know, the way that they do play, if Hurts is showing, you know, symptoms of what we think is a regression, then I'm interested to pay down on them. But really, it's going to be, you know, I do have interest in the Eagles. I do have interest in the Lions at 32, and even the Bills without Zay Flowers at 3K. I could probably be talked into just because that's a high profile game. And I did the same thing last week. Like, I had some teams that had Vikings, I had some teams that had Rams, and everybody, you know, wanted to play the offenses, and I just played the defenses there. So I think I will try to do what I can to get the Chiefs. And then, you know, if I need the salary, I'll probably go Rams, and then I can figure it out, you know, once that Chiefs game is over, see what I need to do. Maddie, how are you looking at defense this week and what stands out to you?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you're echoing everything that's sitting up in my brain right now at both wide receiver and defensive position. So I don't have anything to add here. I'm in total lockstep with you.
Love it. Kev, defense.
Yeah, let's build a lineup. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think you could go to the Chiefs. Some of the Chiefs' defense is 100% healthy. This is the healthiest it's been since week 7. Jalen Watson's back, which is huge. I mean, he was a lockdown corner for them for the first 7 weeks. And so now that he's back, that's monster. Yeah. That's huge for this. The rest of their defense is completely healthy. Everybody's rested. Like, yeah, I think Chiefs, that offensive line for the Texans is suspect at best. And so, yeah, I think Chiefs make the most sense. And then I think the Rams would be the other option that I would take a look at, you know, if you wanted a little bit of a cheaper option.
I love it. If I just gave you a blind team and told you that this team is for sure, you know, it's for sure cashing. This team is cashing, no doubt about it. You just have one position left. If I gave you Chiefs defense or the field, who are you guys more apt to take?
Chiefs defense.
Chiefs defense, yeah. Okay, fair enough, because I feel the same way too. And we just saw it last week. I mean, the Texans defense, they come out first game, really put up, you know, a score that you really want to have. I mean, the Rams got there. They got there close. So if you had the salary to be able to, or if you saved it and you got on Rams, you know, you were feeling good about that. But we've seen it time and time again. If that defense goes out and they put out, you know, anywhere from 18 up, you're just going to be hoping that you got that defense and figuring out the rest of your lineups there. Let's build a team, boys. Let's do it. Build a team for the people. Divisional round. We'll make sure that we get this lineup in and share it out with the people to know what we're building. It's a 4-game slate, so this should be an interesting one. And I'll take first crack at it, and I'll just be safe. I'll put Jahmyr Gibbs in. He's a guy that we all like. No controversy there. We'll just go ahead and get a Detroit Lion locked up there at 7,700. Kev, why don't you go next, and then we'll have Maddie go last this week.
DeAndre Hopkins.
If you're playing him, you got to play Mahomes. I think he gets there by touchdowns.
Let's do Worthy then over Hollywood.
That will be different. Mahomes without Worthy or without Hollywood or Kelsey.
Without Hollywood or Kelsey, potentially. We still got the build left, Maddie.
That will be different. Yeah, well, true.
I hear you, though. It's hard. I mean, if you're playing Hopkins, though, like, what are the chances that, you know, Worthy or, I guess, Kelsey.
He can throw five touchdowns and throw for 200 yards. It's totally possible. If they've got a lot of short fields because of the defense.
Yeah.
It's
and I feel like Worthy, like, even if Hopkins goes out and catches two and he gets you 20, like, Worthy could still get there on production without necessarily scoring.
He can splash play it. Yeah.
Or hell, just get a rushing touchdown for us, Worthy.
He can do that too.
All right, Kev, where are we going?
Oh, sorry. Barkley. Take one.
I'll just go ahead and give a salary and let's run it back with Schultz.
Okay. Which leaves us 49.66 for a wide receiver flex and defense. Let's try JMO and see what happens here.
You can play McLaurin. Actually. You just got to play Texans or Commanders D.
let's go Monty flex. Wide receiver defense left. Let's see what happens there.
Instead of Jamo. And you can play McLaurin with 2.9K left over. So that's Ravens.
The Rams, right?
Ravens and Rams, yeah. I'd go Rams of those two. Yeah. I'm good with that.
And actually, yeah, just flip. At least the way that I have it set up. Play Monty in the running back and then play Barkley in the flex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. All right, so the team is Patrick Mahomes, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, so your Reliance production just coming on the ground. DeAndre Hopkins, Worthy for that double stack. Terry McLaurin as the run back for the Detroit, and Schultz is the run back for KC. And then Barkley with the Rams D, which seems kind of counterintuitive, but like if Barkley Barkley can get there and it's a low scoring game, the Rams get, you know, make life miserable for Hurts, it's possible. So $200 left on the table, and I'm going to update that and put that into the field of play. Boys, it was fun one breaking down the divisional round with you guys and with the people for the DGEN Nation. Like we said, we do this every year, and we're going to be back next weekend to break down the conference round. If there's a tournament to play, you definitely are going to hear a breakdown from the DGEN Nation podcast. We appreciate everybody who's been rocking around with us all year and even into the next year, right? We're 2025, so we've been doing this for quite some time, and we love having you guys with us. Maddie, Kev, any final words for the people before we sign off?
Enjoy the games. It'll be a fun one.
Yeah, because in like a couple months from now, we'll be begging for any football. So
no doubt.
Just enjoy this. And then we also have the National Championship game, what, on Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ohio State, Notre Dame.
So we still got a little football left. And yeah, Kev's right. Now it might not even be months. We might be saying weeks.
You got Daytona 500 coming up, you know, in the middle of February. God.
There we go.
Anytime here soon, so you'll have some baseball coming up, but yeah,
that's true. I mean, that's true. Yeah, anytime Kev can plug NASCAR, you know that's when the season's coming to an end. So it'll be fun. But yeah, we'll be back next week with you guys. I believe on, well, you know, it doesn't matter. We'll let you guys know when we're going to be going live, but we'll be back next week, no doubt. Yeah, most likely on Friday
for the Super Bowl too that we do. So.
And we'll be breaking down Super Bowl slate, right? So we still got a couple more pods left with you guys. We appreciate all the love.
Who's your support. Picks for this weekend? Put you on the spot, Ryan.
No, I'm gonna go chalk on Saturday with Chiefs in Detroit. And I I have a future on the Rams. I have to say that. So okay. It's tough to see them winning, but you know, Rams spread, I guess I'll take that cop out there. I do like Buffalo over Baltimore. I want to see Josh Allen go back into Arrowhead and see what's happening. But you know, either way, Lamar would be fun too. But you know, definitely want Zay Flowers to be healthy to make that a game. But I think Buffalo, they've been waiting for this, so that's who I got. Kev.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on Saturday, and then Sunday, I think I would go Eagles. I'd probably just go chalk Eagles, then I think I would go Bills.
I'm chalk too. It's Eagles Bills for me. Well, I guess Bills aren't really chalk because the Bills
aren't necessarily chalk.
It was Bills favored. Now it's not. Now it's Ravens.
So that'll be all. So no road teams winning, boys. No road teams winning divisional round.
Yeah, I think the road teams struggle this week.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
What do you think the likeliest of an actual upset is? Like what game?
Rams Eagles.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, I'm telling you, I wouldn't write off the Commanders.
I would love to see the command. I mean, selfishly, you know, NFC North, to have all the teams out would be great. But yeah, that would be incredible, but that would be also be painful, as a Bears fan to have Jaden Daniels go into, you know, the Lion Den and just to be able to hear the narrative, like this is just going to be a long off season for us. But from a football fan standpoint, that would be cool as shit. And I would just love to see what the talk is around Dan Campbell and the Lions for the year that they've had.
I can't see it. I just can't see. I just think the Lions are kind of like that. Like that.
They're a juggernaut. They are.
It's tough.
They have weathered every storm. They have lost all these players and they continue to win. Like they have all the pieces. They're at home. That place is going to be absolutely ridiculous, rocking, you know, on Saturday. Like I think there's really good things coming for the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. But like, I don't know. Like, I think if there was an upset, it would be the Eagles because I could just like, there's been this narrative this entire, you know, like month, 2 months that the Eagles have really struggled to throw the ball, that their passing offense isn't very good. Like if they fall behind and they get down by a couple scores, Nick Sirianni does really dumb things sometimes. And if it puts them in this bad spot, like what happens? Like it's going to be cinema to watch because you could see AJ Brown losing his shit, throwing books on the sideline. And, you know, if there was a true upset, like I think that would be the one that I would think that like I could see happening.
Yeah. And you know, just funny how these things go in cycles, right? Because then we would get Rams and Lions 2.0, you know, from earlier on in the season, right? I believe we already had that matchup. So
Did they play in the playoffs last year too?
Yeah, they bounced them, right? That was the revenge. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, just Stafford and the Rams meeting up to go to the Super Bowl, like after the Rams already won the Super Bowl. Like, come on. Like, it doesn't get much better than that. You know, send the script out, NFL. That's what you guys had, right? That's what you guys had.
Yeah, you've got Rams, Lions, and then you've got Kansas City and Buffalo and then a rematch. Come on. You know, like two rematches.
It's rigged. It's rigged if that happens. We don't get that.
The Lions won that game last year in wild card, 24-23. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Man, good stuff, man. That's what we live for. That's what we live for, football. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to break down either way. We'll be excited to break it down with you guys next week. But until next week, you guys know what time it is. Get that money. Get the shout outs. Enjoy the football. And we'll catch you next time. Signing off for Matty D at Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. The Godfather himself, Kevin Steele at Fantasy Route 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Ryan Williams, myself, you can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. We'll catch you guys next time. Until then, peace. Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. What you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're right, you know. Think you're right, you know. Think you're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Boy, yeah, that's a break, boy.
tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.